Hello, I'm Barnett Gilmer, owner and CEO of Gulf Breeze Recovery.
And I'm Kat Carley, admissions director at Gulf Breeze Recovery.
And would like to welcome you to our fourth edition of our Beyond Addiction podcast series.
Today, what we're going to talk to you about is this idea of innate health. And what we mean by innate health is a principle that says that we already have everything that we need to be happy, whole, content, and healthy within us. There's nothing that we have to do, add, create in order to attain health, wholeness, or well-being. That it's something that is innate within us. It's in our very nature. It's something that we're born with.
And, you know, some people may ask, well, what does this have to do with addiction? You know, and my answer would be everything. You know, in our podcast earlier, you know, we spoke about the outside-in misunderstanding, you know, the fertile soil that maybe leads to addiction. Well, when we start having an understanding about our innate health and that, you know, that we're always coming back to our health if we just allow ourselves to, that, you know, what takes us off of our health, mental health is thought. And when we start to have a really insightful understanding about really what's going on there, then all of a sudden things start to change for us. We start to realize that, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, this is an illusion. You know, that things outside myself cannot create peace, contentment, and happiness. You know, that it comes from within me and that I have it. I've always had it. It's just been lost. And it was lost, through addiction. But even when a person is suffering with addiction, we still have moments of clarity that come, but then they quickly dissipate. And so, yeah, when that understanding changes the game.
It does. And I kind of want to go back to why this seems so difficult. It would, for some people, to really grab a hold of as something that's really applicable to addiction. And that's because we're not talking about a doingness. What we're talking about is an understandingness. And for every ailment under the sun, and addiction is no different, I think that we're culturally conditioned that we have to do something about everything. And so to have this understanding that's really such a game changer, as Barnett said, it feels a little funny to some people. What we hear a lot is, okay, I get it. Well, what do I do? And most folks aren't comfortable with the idea that you don't have to do anything. It's just about getting a deeper understanding, particularly coming from the space of addiction where everything is instant. Every feeling has to be followed by an action. Anytime I'm uncomfortable, I need to use something to get out of discomfort. Anytime I'm really happy, I have to use something to amplify that happiness or to moderate it, whatever the case may be. This idea of understanding something and letting what happens next organically follow can seem really foreign. But what we're talking about here is really a process of transformation rather than this instant fix. And what happens through a process of transformation is the solution that we get is sustainable, it's long lasting. It's a different way to see ourselves and to see the world around us. It changes our relationship to ourselves, to our thinking, and to everything else. The way that I like to think about it is being in addiction, you know, being completely caught up in that cycle and having this outside-in misunderstanding of life that we've spoken about is like laying face down in a gutter. It seems really hopeless and you can't see anywhere to go. Coming to an inside-out understanding of innate health and where our happiness and our well-being are truly coming from is like turning over in that gutter. It does not change anything about where you're sitting in the moment, but it changes your outlook. You can see the sky, you know, you can see what's happening around you in the world. And that in itself is going to inherently change your possibilities and your next steps. You know, you go about life differently when you can see the sky, when you can see what's coming next, when you can see what's always been there, even when we're laying in the gutter.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's Kat, the one thing that, you know, kind of sets humans apart, you know, from, you know, the rest of the animal kingdom, if you will, is our ability to be able to mentally step outside of ourselves, if you will, and look down, you know, and observe our behavior, you know, observe what's going on with us. And, you know, and that's, when we talk about innate health, and we talk about insights and you know, and changing how we view the world, you know, that's really a useful tool, if you will, to be able to see that, okay, and maybe be able to see in the past, you know, what's been driving the train, okay, you know, and so for a lot of us, what's been driving the train may be insecurity, you know, whatever it may be, for that person. But when a person can insightfully see what's been going on, then next thing you know, they've transported themselves, you know, outside, if you will, and looking and going, oh my gosh, wow, you know, I've been doing a lot of this stuff to myself, but always thought that it was somebody else, something else, and truly, sincerely believed it, because at that moment it seemed real. But when I realized that, you know, my reality is being created through my thinking and through thought, then it kind of changes the game a little bit, because it's coming through me. You know, I'm the filter. You know, so we're always feeling our thinking, always feeling our thinking. And it's really hard to wrap ourselves around that concept sometimes, because, you know, rightfully so, people go, well, you know, you mean to tell me that if somebody, you know, did something terrible to me, and you know, I it created this certain feeling of, you know, whatever it may be, that it's me, that I've created it, that not the other person has created it. You know, one of the stories I like to give is, you know, let's say that, you know, Kat, you and I have the same friend, and we've had this friend, you know, for 10 years, you know, both of our best friend, if you will. You know, we really like Chuck. We'll call him Chuck. Next thing you know, something happens to Chuck, and, you know, next thing you know, he breaks into our house, okay, and maybe takes things from us, steals from us. And my reaction is that I want to get at Chuck. You know, I'm mad at Chuck, okay, and I want to get him back. Maybe with violence or whatever. Maybe you think about it as, wow, I wonder what went on with Chuck that would make him want to do something like that. And so we both have the same circumstance, right? But we have different feelings about that. And so that just kind of shows, you know, that it is about, you know, we're feeling our thinking. It's not about what's being done to us or what we perceive to be done to us, but it's how we think about that circumstance or that situation. And that's kind of a slippery, you know, concept, kind of a gray, but it's not. It is, but it isn't.
Seems like it is.
It seems like it is.
But in reality, it's not. And so I want to pull that back again to, what does it have to do with addiction? Because again, the answer is everything. So this idea that you're talking about of being able to step back and see our own behavior and witness our own thinking and to sort of be the observer of our own lives, this awesome ability that human beings have, really allows ourselves to watch for fluctuations in our mood and in our feeling states. And when we have this understanding that we're always feeling our thinking, we can see when, if we go back to this baseline of health, we can see when we're fluctuating high or we're fluctuating low. And when we have that misunderstanding that our feelings are coming from out there, feelings are coming from what Chuck did when he broke into my house, if I think it's coming from Chuck, then my go-to reaction is to try to change the circumstance, to try to change Chuck, to do something about it, or in the case of addiction, to try to change my feeling by changing my circumstance and using. But when we see that we have this baseline of innate health, that along this line, which we'll always return to, we're healthy, we're content, we're at peace, that when we're low, all we have to do is, you know, just abide that feeling and we will come back to health, that when we're high, same thing, we will come back to health, that we always come back to this place of clarity and peace and well-being, it allows us to step back and notice when we're off that baseline of mental health. And what noticing it does is it separates us from our thinking in the moment. It allows us to come back to mental health more quickly and basically not take our thinking so seriously, not take our feelings so seriously. Just because I'm feeling like, God, this is the worst, most miserable day ever. I am terrible. I am miserable. That doesn't tell me anything about the day. It just tells me about my quality of the thinking in the moment. And when I see that it's not the day that has to change, it's just my thinking, I can sit back and allow it to do so naturally, which it already does. The implications that this has for addiction is that when people relapse, it happens in one of two times, when either things are going really poorly or things are going really well. It's when we are not on this baseline of contentment. It's when we're either way high up here or we're way down here. And getting to those places and realizing that there is nothing that has to be done about it is an understanding that is absolutely invaluable. It allows us to be able to put a period at the end of our feeling sentences. You know, going back to the example with Chuck, most of us naturally want to say, I'm mad, so I'm gonna, or my feelings are really hurt, so I gotta. And with someone in addiction, we've been conditioned to, so I'm gonna get high, so I gotta drink. Folks use as a solution to any and every feeling. And when we stop just looking at the using and actually go back before the using and address the so I gotta, then we don't even have to go there. I can just be mad, period, and allow my health to come back in time. I can be hurt, period, and allow my health to come back in time. Sort of the common idea, this pill for every ill, this we have to do something about everything that's wrong with us, leads us to believe that we have to do something about everything. And just because someone gets a craving to drink doesn't mean they have to meditate or do yoga in that moment. You have to go on a 30-minute walk. You have to clear your head. You have to go speak with your therapist. There is no particular doingness that it was going to excuse anyone from a feeling. Feelings are a natural, normal ebb and flow of life. It allows us to just see them for what they are and sit with them until we return back to our health. And to see that insightfully for someone who struggles with addiction is absolutely a game changer, because we just take so I gotta completely out of the equation. The problem with a doingness of something like meditation or going for a walk or something that is also outside of us that just happens to be more healthy than a substance is if I feel like I need to do something about my feeling and I'm used to taking a drug And instead, I replace it with taking a walk. Taking a walk is absolutely never going to change my internal experience as quickly or as greatly as taking a substance. And so what happens with people with addiction is they try these other things outside themselves to feel better, and they don't get the desired result as big or as quickly, and they go back to what they know works, which is the substance. When we realize that we don't have to change our feeling, that we can be in our feeling, and that we will always return back to our health, it allows the feelings to pass more quickly, and it takes away this urgency that something has to be done about everything. And that really, going back to our original plant analogy, it makes this fertile soil of addiction completely infertile. It makes it unable to grow.
Yeah, I agree. When we start to realize that it's us, you know, that it's here. That you know, it's been us all along, that things really start to change. And when we start to insightfully see that, you know, that maybe we've been creating an illusion, okay? And that, you know, it started from when we were young, and you know, the belief that something outside ourselves is going to create, you know, happiness or whatever. But when we really insightfully see it, you know, things change. And when we insightfully see it, it's really hard to go back.
Right.
We can try to go back, and we may slip. You know, it's really easy sometimes to go back to the conditioned way in which we have done things. But that's usually temporary. You know, because if we really insightfully see something, because that means that we've had fresh thinking about that, you know, subject, if you will, or whatever you want to call it, about our innate health.
It's like zooming in super close on a picture and only having this limited view. And once you zoom out and see the big picture, you can zoom in again, but you don't forget that the rest of the picture is there. You know, you can't unsee the big picture. Even if you get zoomed in again, you still know it's there.
Yeah.
It makes me think of, this is a really, really silly example, but it's like you're hitting yourself in the face, and you're hitting yourself in the face over and over, and you don't realize it's coming from you. So you can try to stop it, and you fight it, and set up a whole, you know, rig ropes to stop your arm from hitting you in the face. But once you look in the mirror and see that it's all connected back to you, it just doesn't make sense to keep doing it anymore. I mean, that doesn't mean we can't hold our hand back, but it just loses its power when we realize that we're doing it to ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. You know, you had mentioned something about, you know, the doing this and
right.
reading or taking a walk and you know, meditating, that kind of stuff. Certainly not saying that any of that's wrong, because it's not. You know, it's certainly fine.
And can even be helpful.
It can be helpful. You know, I used to take walks to help me get my mind off of whatever it was that was going on at that time. And I found it, you know, to be helpful. You know, I read books, and I thought that it, you know, that the act of reading books was really helpful. But it's so funny, because I made a comment one time to someone that I found when I was reading that, you know, what was going on with me at that time, that I've, you know, had relief. And that, you know, that relief lasted for about 30 minutes after I finished reading. But then, you know, the old stuff started resurfacing. And he laughed and he goes, "Well, you know, it's not the book, right?" And I'm like, what do you mean? Yes, the book. I'm reading the book. It's the book. No, it's not the book. It's just the act of reading the book is the occasion to quieten your mind and to put you in the moment, to put you in the now, and to stop, you know, the hamster wheel, if you will, of thought. And I'm like, huh? But it kind of made sense to me. And so then I started realizing that the walking and all the things that I were doing was just the occasion. It was the occasion to quieten the mind, okay? To stop the hamster wheel of thought, which put me, if you will, you know, back into my health.
Yeah.
And then because I had the misunderstanding about what the reading and stuff done, then once I finished that activity, then of course the hamster wheel of thought, the thought took me back out of my natural healthy state. And that's what takes us out of our natural healthy state typically is thought, no matter what it's about. And so, yeah, when we have these cycles, you know, just like you had mentioned, you know, that relapse happens typically up here or down here. You know, up here, maybe I'm, you know, everything's going my way. Hey, I think I'm okay now. You know, I can take that drink now. I can have a social drink. I'm good. Down here, life's terrible. You know, nothing's working right for me. You know, I feel like garbage, so I'm going to take a drink or drug or whatever. But, you know, once we understand that when we're in these highs and lows, and it's okay to be there, okay, and that the more I try to get out of them, the more they linger,
mm-hmm.
especially on the lower part. The more I try to get out of it, the more it lingers. So if I just let it be, I naturally come back out of it. And so I don't make decisions when I'm up here. You know, I'm not going to ask somebody to marry me when I'm up here. I'm not going to make a major business decision when
right.
I'm up
buy
here.
Buy a new car.
Buy a new car.
Having a great day. I'm going to buy a new car.
And when I'm down here, I'm not going to try to get a divorce, you know, or you know, maybe ruin a relationship. I'm just not going to do anything. I'm going to understand where I'm at. And so when we talk about doing this versus understanding, yeah, you know, there's kind of a little gray fine line, if you will, because some people can go, well, isn't understanding a doing this? You know, you're doing the act of understanding. Well, okay. But just understanding where you are, knowing it's okay, knowing you're going to get back to your health, has all the implications in the world. Because when we're in a low mood state, we're not damaging relationships. We're not creating harm, you know, with our employer or spouse or, you know, whatever, whoever. We're letting it pass before we do that harm. But most important, we're not harming ourselves. And that makes all the difference in the world, because we understand we don't have to go outside ourselves to change that. It is going to change.
And I think that the understanding of innate health is central to all of that. Because I know you were talking about quieting the mind is where we find relief. It's because our natural state is health and well-being and relaxed and at peace and in the moment and just here. And what alters that is when we put a whole bunch of thought on top of it. So when we're in a really low place or we're in a really high place and we try to do something to alter that really quickly, it requires a lot of thought. You know, what am I going to do to fix this? How am I going to fix this? How can I get better? And is this going to help? Is this going to help? Is this helping? It requires a lot. We're putting a lot of thought on top of the thought that created the feeling to begin with, which just makes the feeling bigger. We're trying to think our way out of a thought-created problem, which makes no sense. Once we realize that the feeling is a thought-created state, we can do whatever activity it is that helps us to quiet the mind or get back to the moment. It's nothing in particular. It's no specific doingness. There's nothing that we have to do or not do. It's just that understanding that we are creating that own feeling state for ourselves through the activity of thought. And that no amount of thought on top of that is going to fix it. Nothing has to be fixed. We can just lean into the feeling, and we're guided really naturally back to our health in that way. One thing that I want to point out is that addiction does alter the brain in some measurable ways. It really does alter our reward system, which in turn changes and incentivizes us to think particular thoughts with increasing frequency and increasing urgency. And this understanding does not take away from that fact. What it does is it changes our relationship to our thinking. So we can still experience thought, we can experience urgency, we can experience this pull of craving and addiction, but we're able to see it for what it is. Going back to what you were saying, you know, about being able to step back and experiencing ourselves in a behavior or having a thought, instead of chasing the thought itself. You know, just this feeling that I absolutely have to drink, I absolutely have to use. Instead of following that, we can step back and see that it's a thought. And there's nothing that has to be done. It's a feeling. There's nothing that has to be done. We will return back to our baseline innate health.
You know, when we talk about feeling our thinking, that kind of stuff, you know, insecurity is one of the big things that I think about, because, you know, there's blind thought, okay? We may call it maybe a deeply held belief even, okay? Something we don't, a belief or a thought that we don't think about, that doesn't surface. And I think insecurity is maybe, you know, one of those things, you know, that we kind of pick up when we're maybe younger or whatever, but, you know, that thought of not being good enough. I don't think many people have the conscious thought that, you know, I'm not good enough kind of thing. It's just something that's there, okay? But it creates that person's lens, okay, for how they're viewing the world. And so I can, for an example, I could say that maybe a person to overcome, you know, their insecurity, that they really, you know, go all out in their job. Okay, that's really important to them. You know, that I have got to excel at my work, and then the next thing you know, somebody, you know, might criticize their work or, you know, offer a hint or something like that. And then maybe they get just really, you know, they just blow up, you know, and it's just instant. And it really seems like that, you know, the person that criticized them is creating that experience because it's so sudden.
Right.
Bam. But, you know, there's a lot of other people out there that would take that criticism and go, "Oh, okay, I never thought about that." And so, you know, it is still the underlying thinking that creates that, but it's something that's blind to a person. And so, you know, it kind of goes back, if you will, to those that internal unrest that we talked about in previous podcasts, right? That's creating the need to look outside ourselves for a better feeling, that kind of thing. But in reality, when we have an insightful understanding about really what's going on and what's, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe that this has really been going on all this time, that it's been driving the train. You know, we said it before, I'll say it again. I mean, it just changes things.
Absolutely right, Berna. I think that what's important to remember is that I know there are, you know, I meditate, I go for walks, I read. There are so many activities that I do as a part of my life and my routine that I find really helpful as far as quieting the mind. And so I don't want to discount the efficacy of anything, because those things really can be helpful. The point that I think that we're trying to make is that they're not required. That meditating just happens to be what I do when my mind is quieting down, when my thoughts are slowing down and my innate health is rising to the surface. That going for a walk happens to be an occasion when my mind slows down and my innate health rises to the surface. So on a day that I don't have 30 minutes to meditate or go for a walk, there's nothing magical in the meditation or the walk or in any activity, in exercise, in anything. There's nothing magical about that I have to do in order to access my innate health, because it's within me. It's always accessible. As long as I can sit back and allow my thoughts to quiet. And there are all kinds of activities that I can do that can help facilitate that. And also, I don't have to do anything. I mean, it just is my natural state. And so it's the state that I'll always return to. So this is what we've been talking about the last three podcasts, this model of a plant. And the way that we've been talking about it is everything above the soil is the observable behavior of addiction, the things you can see, the using behavior, the scheming. These roots here are what are commonly referred to as the roots of addiction, or things that cause internal unrest. Things like insecurity, trauma, depression, anxiety, anything that's happening that is creating a feeling that's uncomfortable. And then the soil has been a misunderstanding of how we're experiencing life. You know, for addiction to grow, we need the soil to be fertile, with this misunderstanding that something outside of us is going to be responsible for our well-being and our happiness and our peace. And as we've been talking about this whole time, it's not outside of us, it's innate. It's been within us the whole time. And so this understanding of innate well-being, it doesn't necessarily change the roots. It doesn't undo the trauma. It doesn't, you know, immediately fix insecurity or depression or anxiety, but what it does is it changes our relationship to it. And so as we're experiencing these things through the filter of thought, and by thinking we're having feelings, we're able to see that our feelings are actually coming from our thinking. And we're able to see it for what it is. Instead of acting on outside issues in the moment, we can actually see that we're the captain of our own ship, that we're actually creating our experience moment to moment through thought. And that just has massive implications when it comes to addiction.
Yeah, I agree. And so, yeah, the best way to make the soil fallow, yeah, is to not just have an intellectual understanding, okay, of where our moment-to-moment experiences come from, you know, through the gift of thought, but to have a deep-down, insightful understanding, you know, kind of almost an aha, kind of, oh my gosh, oh wow, kind of thing that really changes how we see things, that gives us, you know, fresh thinking. They don't die instantaneously.
Yeah, they didn't pop up overnight. You know, making the soil infertile does not cause the plant to instantaneously die. But what we've done is we've made it not make sense for a plant to grow here anymore. And that's what happens with this understanding of innate health, this understanding how thinking is shaping our experience, is that it just doesn't make sense for addiction to grow there anymore. With addiction, all the power is in the thought. And when we have this understanding of where our experience is really coming from, the power becomes with the thinker. It comes back to us. And the addictive thoughts just don't have the same power that they used to.
It takes time, you know, for a person to start to understand and to start to really see, you know, that there is something different than maybe what they've been conditioned to all their life. You know, it's in most cases it's not just a snap of the finger. A person may have an insight, you know, about the nature of thought, okay, and about the nature of the outside in misunderstanding, which is good, but you know, it still takes time to really see things, okay, and to really you know, there's always more insights to have, there's always more growth to have. You know, the one thing that I always like to tell people is that we never, you know, have it, okay? There's really nothing to get, all right, because we've always had our innate health here. It just takes time, just like Kat said, you know, that the plant doesn't die instantly. The more a person sees, the more a person realizes, I can never go back there. That is, wow, you know, things have changed for me. It's just a different way of looking at addiction. It's a different way of truly overcoming addiction, and to give the person not to give the person the power back, but for the person to realize they've had it all along.
Right.
Just to understand it.
Yeah. So, what are the takeaways? You know, what should people take away from this podcast? What are the implications?
Maybe ask yourself, you know, what if there was a way to be happier without changing your circumstances or your way of life? That's what we're pointing to, our innate health, the understanding, because it's all within us. That possibility is real. I mean, it's more real than the other way around. Our next podcast, we're going to talk about what we do at Gulf Breeze Recovery in the process that we go through to help a person to see for themselves, okay, what's been going on in their life and to set the stage for change for them and to help them to become captains of their own ship. I'd like to thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.